You've probably heard some version of the story of the man who went to the doctor because of his failing memory, and he says to the doctor that, "I'm getting to the point where I can't remember anything anymore." And the doctor said, "Well, how long have you had this problem?" And the man said, "What problem?" Well, an exaggerated description of what happens to all of us in little bits. The old story of the minister visiting an elderly sister in his congregation, and as he's about to leave, he said, "Sister so-and-so, I'm sure at this point in your life you think a lot about the hereafter." And she said, "You know, I really do, because every time I go into another room, I think, what am I here after?" And we've probably all been there at one point or another, but we do tend to forget things, and it takes a while to appreciate the role that memory can have in life anyway. Well, in the text read this morning, Peter, realizing that we humans tend to forget, said that he would always remind his readers of things that they had known in the past, that he would stir them up by way of reminder. One of the songs in our hymn book has this same sentiment. It's called "Remind Me, Dear Lord." The chorus says, "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord." Well, of course, this particular Sunday, September the 11th, we're reminded of those events that happened some 15 years ago. And then those events cause us all to step back and reflect and remember the horrific events on that particular day. And hopefully what we've learned from those things, and hopefully we've learned from those things and grown from those things. But sometimes it is helpful to step back and remember those kinds of events and reflect. And I think Peter here again is encouraging his readers not to forget some of the things or the things that he has taught them. Paul in 1 Corinthians issues 5 challenges to the church. And seems to me they are simply reminders of who they are and how they are supposed to live. He challenges them, for example, to be holy, that they have been set apart by God. He calls upon them to be united, which will make their witness to the world much more credible. He challenges them to belong, reminding them that they do belong to the body of Christ. He tells them that love is to be a priority, that whatever they do, their motive is to be a sincere and genuine love. And finally, he wants them to be involved, which is, of course, is critical to the ongoing of the Lord's church. Well, those challenges Paul proposed to the Corinthian church got me to thinking about some things that we here at Regency need to be reminded of. Now, 3 weeks ago, I reminded us of some basic truths, and I used this same text, 2 Peter chapter 1. I suggested that we need to be reminded that the Bible is our only standard of authority, of the way to be saved, that we need to continue to worship God acceptably. We need to be reminded of the reality of coping with the sin problem, and we need to be reminded to be more bold and more involved in our society. But I want to add a few things to that list here this morning. And number one, we need to be reminded of the need to fight indifference. And so consider at least 3 areas where this indifference manifests itself. The first is attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near." And so I want to challenge all of us to make it a priority to be present for all of our scheduled services. God tells us to be present, but it also provides us an opportunity to stir up and to encourage one another to love and good works, as Hebrews 10:24 and 25 suggest. An interesting phrase is found four times in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The phrase is, when you come together. And it is referring to the church coming together for worship to God. And when we come together, we obey a command of God, and we want to do it with joy and gladness. And so when we come together, we should have a great reverence for God. We come with humility, with sincerity. We come recognizing God's holiness and greatness. One of the words for worship is proskuneo. It is used some 60 times in the New Testament. And the word basically means prostrating oneself, bowing oneself before the Holy God. It always carries with it the idea of reverence. And so we come together to show our reverence for God. When we come together, there is a respect for the truth. Respecting God's truth. We come together to sing, to teach, to give, to commune, and to pray. When we come together, there is love shown for each other. And because of our love for one another, we are eager and excited about assembling together. And when we come together, blessings will come to us. Now, as I indicated, we come first and foremost to give God all the praise and all the glory, but at the same time, blessings will flow to us. We receive strength and encouragement. And so the writer of Hebrews was telling that to us. He's saying that this is the way for you to stimulate one another to love and to good works. But a second area where we demonstrate indifference at times is in our giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so are you making a conscious effort to give as the Lord has prospered you? As Eddie indicated in his prayer, are you giving sacrificially? Are you giving cheerfully? That's what Paul indicated there in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 verse. Not under compulsion, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And so I hope and pray that we will not be indifferent when it comes to this matter of giving. A third area concerns sound doctrine. Listen to Paul's relevant words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Perhaps the time has come in our day when people do not want to hear sound, healthy doctrine. But number two, the need to do distinctive preaching. Jesus was a very distinctive preacher. Some of his words from Matthew chapter 7, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. What is Jesus talking about? I believe it is a call to discipline, to get what we want out of the Christian life. There are no shortcuts. The Christian faith is not a part-time job. Jesus calls for our total attention here. He, in a sense, draws a line in the sand and says, I challenge you to cross it and step up to the kind of life that I expect you to live. Peter was a distinctive preacher. He proclaimed with clarity, with urgency, that there is salvation in no one else, that there is no other name whereby we must be saved. And again, back in the text in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter said his readers were established in the truth, but he would continue to remind them as long as he had life in his body. Peter wanted to know in his heart that after his departure, these Christians in Asia Minor would be able to call these truths to their minds. And I believe Paul was a distinctive preacher. In Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Those are seven ones we must continue to teach and preach today. But number three, we need to be reminded of the need to emphasize the spiritual. Sometimes it seems that our priorities revolve around things we can see and touch. But all of that, as we all know, is temporal. In John Ortberg's book, When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box, he writes that in Jerusalem, hundreds of synagogues have been built by Jews from around the world. One was built by a group from Budapest, and according to an ancient custom, they had a coffin built into the wall. There is no body in it. And they explained to visitors, it is present as a silent witness to remind us that it all goes back in the box. What we need to emphasize is the spiritual. Listen to what this early church devoted themselves to. One of our verses that we had some months ago, Acts 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they were a learning church as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so we need to avail ourselves of every opportunity to immerse ourselves in the apostles' teaching. But they were also a loving and caring church as they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They were a worshiping church as they devoted themselves to prayer and the breaking of bread. And these are some of the spiritual exercises that need to be at the top of our priority list. We are not just physical stuff. We are spiritual beings. And our deepest hunger is spiritual. We hunger for meaning. We hunger for love. We hunger for redemption. Let's make sure that we set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. And then we need to be reminded of our strong need to follow the Bible. Back in the days of Samuel, people were prone to forget God's teachings because of a strong desire to be like the nations around them. This is 1 Samuel chapter 8. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. That's always good advice, isn't it? When something, you hear something or somebody says something that's displeasing, maybe the first thing we need to do is take it to God in prayer. And that's what Samuel did. Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. God's people had this insatiable desire to be like the other nations around them, and that often leads to a refusal to listen to the voice of God. And so we must desire above all else to follow the teaching of God's word. I've always liked Balaam's words in Numbers 22, verse 18. Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the commands of the Lord my God." Well, those are some commendable words coming from Balaam's lips, but he did not follow through in keeping them. But that's the attitude I want every one of us to have. We will not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the commands of the Lord our God. Knowing our human aptness to forget and neglect even the most vital truths, three times in our text, Peter emphasized the need of continual review of these precious matters. They must be reminded, verse 12. Their memories must be refreshed, verse 13. And they must always have the means of being able to remember, verse 15, the great foundational teaching of the faith. Warren Wiersbe tells of receiving letters from listeners of his radio ministry who got upset when he repeated something. And in his reply to these listeners, he often quotes words of Paul from the book of Philippians. "To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you." And so I think that's what we have to keep in mind. No trouble for me, you probably are saying. I agree with that because I've heard you say some of those things over and over, Alan. But hopefully it becomes a safeguard for all of us. And so that's what Paul was suggesting there in Philippians. It doesn't bother me. It's no trouble for me to write these same things to you again, but hopefully it will be a kind of safeguard for you. So I wanted to remind us of some of those additional things that we need to always keep in our minds and in our memories. And Peter says, as long as I have life in my body, I'm going to stir you up because I want to know that after I'm gone, that I will be assured that you will be able to call these things to your minds and to your memories. So we're going to sing our song of encouragement here in just a moment. And if there is anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, so that you can have your sins forgiven, receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord adding you to His spiritual family of the church, we will be glad to help you in that most important decision today. If we can pray with you or for you about anything, we are here to encourage you, to help you. And I think we must not forget, those words there from Hebrews chapter 10, that our coming together is an opportunity for us to stimulate and encourage and motivate one another. Now, I know we come, first of all, to encounter God, but we also come to edify one another. And hopefully we all have opportunity at one time to engage the seeker. Those are all parts of our coming together. But we come to encounter that living God, but we also come to encourage, to stimulate, to motivate one another to love and good works. And your presence is an encouragement to me, and I pray that my presence is also an encouragement to you. But that's why we come together, to be a source of encouragement to one another. That's one of the reasons that we come together. And if anyone needs our prayers, please let us know. If we can help in any way, would you come right now as we stand together and sing?